Well, good morning, everybody. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your presence here. And Lord, we need your presence here. We need your presence here strong, Lord. Just soothe our spirits, calm our fears. And Lord, be our sufficiency. Lord, we pray that you'd open up heaven for us this morning. We pray, Lord, that your word will come down and that our hearts will go up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was from Ephesians. I'm going to read 1 through 10. I'm going to read the other verses that weren't read. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, don't you love those two words? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There's a man named Richard Baxter. I have a quote from him. I thank God for that word, whosoever. If God had said there was mercy for Richard Baxter, I am so vile a sinner that I would have thought he meant some other Richard Baxter. You can insert your own name there if you want. But when he says whosoever, I know that includes me, the worst of all Richard Baxter's. John Newton was a slave ship captain, and then he was saved, and he wasn't anymore a slave ship captain. I have a quote from him also. He said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not what I was. I don't have to think too hard or work my imagination too much to realize where I would have been without Jesus Christ. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 9 today. We're going to be talking about a man named Mephibosheth. Am I pronouncing that right? Mephibosheth. I think probably if I wasn't, we wouldn't know, would we? That's the beauty of the Hebrew language. When What we have in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel is a beautiful picture of salvation by grace. Some people think the Old Testament isn't important, but the Old Testament is the foundation of everything we see in the New Testament. And besides that, it makes up about two-thirds of the Bible, so of course it's important. If God didn't think it was important, He wouldn't have given it to us. Because the New Testament would be a lot harder to understand without the Old Testament. I'm going to start in, 2 Samuel chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read till probably verse 11. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come into David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." There is a condition that all that aren't saved have. It's called, and it's mentioned in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, and James 4, 4. It's called enmity with God. We get the word enemy from that word. It's our natural state. Our unsaved condition is enmity with God. It's hostile with God. We are constantly at war with God, and then we are saved. David had an enemy. His name was Saul. He was the king. And as is common with kings, when they feel that someone else is going to become king in their place, they don't like it. We see several people here. And I'm going to use types for these people. And in certain respects, to a certain extent, the types I'm going to apply to them, or point out, is it may not be true totally, but yet in many respects it is. We see Saul, first of all, as a type of us. Mephibosheth, his grandson, also was. Saul chose to be an enemy of David. David didn't choose to be an enemy of Saul. We chose to be enemies with God. God never chose to be enemies with us. That's not what He intended for us. We see David. David on his throne is a type of God on his throne. David showing loving kindness to the family of his enemy. It foreshadows God extending grace to sinners, to us. We see Jonathan, who is Saul's son and Mephibosheth's father. He's the type of Jesus Christ. He was a mediator between Saul and David. If you're familiar with the history of Jonathan and his friendship with David, then you know that. And if you're not familiar with it, I suggest you read it because it's there. He was a mediator. He mediated between Saul and David. He was a peacemaker. And he also made a covenant with David regarding his family or his descendants. Actually, literally, he said, "Between a covenant between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed." Now, to recap, or to confuse you even more, Mephibosheth was a member of the family of David's enemy, but he was the son of David's friend. Jonathan, who had acted as a mediator, as a peacekeeper, David's friend Jonathan, who had acted as a mediator, a peacemaker between David and his enemy Saul. Like Jesus serves as a mediator between God and man, between us and the Father. A peacekeeper. Peacemaker. Why am I having so much trouble saying that word? It's just not coming out the way it's supposed to. Also, Mephibosheth was the subject of a covenant. You can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 20. David extended favor to him, not because he had earned it or deserved it or for anything he had done, but because of a covenant that was made before Mephibosheth was born. In like manner, before we were born, Jesus entered into a covenant with the Father that he would die for us, he would pay the penalty for our sins, and God would let us live, basically. But actually, it's more than that because he would allow us to be present in heaven with him and with Jesus. Verse 1 says, David said, "Is there yet any man that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Is there yet any left of Saul's house that I can show him kindness? If you read in, I think it's 1 Chronicles 8:33, it gives the genealogy, the list of Saul's sons. There are several of them. But apparently, Mephibosheth was the only one left. David said that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Another word for kindness is loving kindness, or it's mercy. In verse 3, he said, and the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" That expands it a little bit more, doesn't it? The kindness of God, that he can be as God is. And we should all try to be with one another as God is, shouldn't we? Titus 3:3-6 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly for Jesus Christ our Savior." Verse 5, we see that it was David that took the initiative. David sought out Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't come looking for David. Isaiah 53:6 says, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have gone off living our lives and moving further and further away from God. It's like a sheep. A sheep will see a patch of grass somewhere over that looks a little greener than the one he's munching on, and he'll go to that one. And then he'll see another one further off, and before long, he's lost." He doesn't go looking for the shepherd. He'll keep going. It's the shepherd that goes and looks for the sheep. Jesus said he came to seek and to save those that were lost. Before he can save us, he seeks us. He finds us. We don't go looking for him. No one comes to the Lord unless the Lord draws him to him. It was God that sought out Abraham in the land of Ur. It was God that sought out Jacob at Bethel. It was God that sought out Moses in Midian. It was God that sought out Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And it was God that sought out you and me. Then King David, verse 5, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar." How was everything accomplished? How did David do this? Did he pick up his phone and call Mephibosheth and say, "Come on over"? No. And likewise, he didn't say, "Come on by sometime if you're ever in the neighborhood." He didn't say, "If you clean yourself up, you can come." He didn't say, "If you get your act together, you can come." He didn't say, "If you do such and such, you can come." He didn't say, "If you pay so much, you can come." He didn't say, "If you agree to pay me later, you can come." He didn't say, "If you provide your own transportation, you can come." He didn't send him a pair of crutches and say, "Go ahead and hobble on over as best you can." No, he sent somebody to fetch him. God does that with us, too. He sends the Holy Spirit to fetch us. What conditions does God make with us? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." We didn't have to do any of those things, just like Mephibosheth didn't have to do any of those things. Mephibosheth, as I said, that's kind of a funny name, or we think it is. It's in a different language. It may have been a lot more common than we think. I don't know. I believe that God gives us our names. I believe that's still true today. And we have a tendency to live up to our names. Mephibosheth means a shameful thing. He was a wretch, and he knew it. We see that in verse 8, where he refers to himself as such a dead dog as I am. Saved a wretch like me. We also see that he was a fugitive from David. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 4, it talks about his... I'm going to read it. I have it here. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel." That's when the news came that they'd been killed in battle and that David was on the throne. "And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." So he was a fugitive from David. They didn't know what was going to happen because, as I said, when someone becomes king, they're pretty leery of anybody else that also might be a king or might claim the throne. He was a cripple. He was lame in his feet. So are we. Without Jesus. Before we come to the Lord, we don't walk right because we're lame in our feet. because that's our condition. We have trouble standing. He became a cripple through a fall. We can also attribute our lameness and our inability to walk to a fall, can't we? Who fell? Our distant father, Adam, fell. He ate the fruit off the tree. And because of that, everybody developed the inability to walk the way they should. His place of residence. Verse 5 again. The son of Amiel from Lo Debar. Lo Debar means no pasture. It means the wilderness. We also dwelt in our pastureless places, didn't we? Before the Lord, we were in a wilderness. But he brought us out. John 10:3 says, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come into David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. The first word he spoke to Mephibosheth was his name. The first word that was spoken to Moses at the burning bush was Moses. The first word that the Lord spoke to Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree was Zacchaeus. The first word he spoke to Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road was Saul. When Mary was outside the empty tomb crying, and her tears, she was had so much tears in her eyes that she was blinded to who she was even talking to. When Jesus said, Mary, he spoke her name. She knew who it was. The next word the next thing that David says to him is, fear not. We see that a lot in the Bible, don't we? In fact, I haven't counted them, but I've been told that that's in the Bible 365 times. That's enough for every day of the year, isn't it? And we need it every day of the year, don't we? You know, fear not isn't really a suggestion. It's actually a commandment, isn't it? And God wouldn't give us a commandment if he knew we weren't capable of obeying it. Mephibosheth came in and he fell on his face before David. Once we take our place in the dust before the Lord, we have nothing to fear. Because that's the place where he can work with us. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Psalm 22:6 says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. That's the way Mephibosheth felt. And it's the way we felt when we came to the Lord, or it should have been. If it wasn't the way you felt when you came to the Lord, maybe you didn't really come to the Lord. We have to recognize who we are, our own wretchedness. We're going to look at the provision that David made for Mephibosheth. You notice he says, I will surely show thee kindness. Surely. It's going to happen. God says the same thing, doesn't he? Without a doubt. And once again, he didn't say, if you do this or that, I will show you kindness. He said, I will surely show thee kindness. Verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, excuse me, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt cut bread at my table, eat bread at my table continually. So what did Mephibosheth receive? First thing he received was life. Mephibosheth expected to be killed. The traditions of the culture he lived in demanded it. I'll give you one example. 2 Corinthians 21:4. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with a sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. So any descendant or possible claimant to a throne would have been under a death sentence, because they were considered a threat to the throne. We were under a death sentence too, weren't we? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. John 10:10 tells us that we are promised life and life abundantly in this world, and after that, eternal life. That's life, isn't it? Second thing he received was peace. David said, fear not. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing he received, let me read verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Third thing he received was an inheritance. This was a forfeited inheritance. It didn't belong to Saul anymore. It belonged to the kingdom. It belonged to David. But he chose to give it to Mephibosheth. Why did he do that? He did it for Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake, he restored to Mephibosheth the estate of his father and grandfather. God, for Christ's sake, gives back to us all that Adam forfeited, doesn't he? All that was lost. In fact, we're actually going to be better off than if Adam had never sinned. Because God can do that. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. The fourth thing is an abundant portion. To feast at the king's table. Not once or twice, but continually. He wasn't told to go eat in the kitchen. He wasn't told to meet him at the back door and then go out in the field somewhere and eat his lunch. No. The king's table. That reminded me of a place I used to eat at called the king's table. It was a buffet. They had a lot of food there. They had everything there. It was great. But I don't imagine it compared with what was on David's table. And it certainly doesn't compare with what's on the Lord's table for us, does it? Verse 11 says, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He received an honored position. We also, according to 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. There's one other thing. When Mephibosheth sat at the king's table, his crippled feet were hidden from view, weren't they? In Christ, all our deformities are also hidden. Eating at his table. That's symbolic of fellowship. That's what communion is. Fellowship. Today we celebrate communion. And this is the king's table, isn't it? Just those few things on there, the elements, they're worth a lot more than anything that was on David's table, aren't they? Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door and let me in, I will come in and sup with him, and he with I. I've seen a picture of what that represents. In fact, I think that, no, we don't have it in there. We have one similar to it. But it shows Jesus at the door, and there's no door handle outside. There's no doorknob. It can only be opened from the inside. So we have to open that door up, don't we? But then he comes in. Then we have communion with him. Then we have fellowship with him. You know, Jesus isn't physically here, yet he's spiritually here, isn't he? We partake not just of what he provides. We partake of that which represents him. This do in remembrance of me, he said. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward, please, and hand out the elements. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So what we need to do is we need to, all of us, be examining our hearts. And we need to set things right with God. And everything that we find there that's contrary to him or contrary to what he wants, we need to confess to him. And we need to ask him to clean us. Cleanse us, O Lord. Make us new and fill us. Is what we sang, isn't it? So I'm going to ask everyone just to speak to the Lord. And silently talk to him about the things that he's revealing to you. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you willingly, joyfully gave your body to be broken for us, Lord. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed, the blood that cleanses us from all our sins, Lord. You may drink the cup.
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for providing your word. We thank you, Lord, for providing your gift of salvation. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with each one of us as we go our ways, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'd bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.